us from our sins and holds us secure. Thank you, Brother Jeff and our musicians. Let's have them do that one again real soon, okay? Invite you to take your copy of God's Word and find this morning the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we'll look in a moment in verses 24 through 27. Seated to my immediate right here on the first few rows are our Lakeview High School graduating seniors. You see their names listed here in our Sunday worship bulletin. And I want to ask all of them to stand at this time and let us just greet you and salute you for your achievement. And you can be seated. These guys look good in their bow ties, don't they? I told them I would have worn my bow tie this morning. I knew they were going to wear theirs, but then again, I don't have a bow tie. But I would have gone out and bought one, I guess. But nevertheless, we do salute you, commend you. Your parents, I know, are immensely delighted and proud of you, grandparents and others. It is a signal time when you come to high school graduation. I was reflecting upon my high school graduation 49 years ago. Wow. And I remember it vividly and with gratitude. And thank God for the teachers that I had along the way, both public school, Sunday school, going all the way back to preschool years. And you were blessed to have these people to instill into your life so many truths and values and a whole array of stuff that you wanted to learn and some stuff you didn't want to learn that will do you well, serve you well someday, and we commend you. High school graduation is a time for decision, and these high school graduates are coming up on making choices that will impact their future, and I want to speak to them this morning. And I invite the rest of the congregation to just listen in and eavesdrop as the pastor talks to our graduating seniors today. As you come to graduation, you have lots of choices to make, not the least of which would be a career path. And soon you'll be enrolling in some other institution of higher learning. You'll have to choose where you're going to go. You've got to choose a major. Most folks choose several majors before they graduate. Don't worry about that. But choose wisely, because you must live with the consequences of all of your choices. And so this morning I want you to think with me about this subject, choices and consequences. Choices and consequences. Look in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll begin with verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. And what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." Choices and consequences. If I could just take the whole sermon this morning and just encapsulate it into one simple sentence, it would be this: the choices we make have consequences. The choices that we make have consequences. This is seen in the ridiculous to the sublime. If a person chooses to step off the top of a 10-story building, he will not defy the law of gravity. He will simply demonstrate the law of gravity. Choices have consequences, and that'd be a foolish choice, and you suffer the consequence of that kind of choice. On On the other hand, there are sublime choices. If you wanted to be a concert pianist, you don't just decide to buy a piano. You're one within a 6 weeks series of lessons from some concert master. No, you have to discipline yourself day in, day out, week in, week out, over many years to be a skilled and gifted pianist. There are consequences that follow those who discipline themselves, who pay the price to be able to play the way so many in our church can play so beautifully. They didn't just arrive that way overnight. They paid the price. And so choices do have consequences. Some of those consequences are immediate. Some are long-term, and some are eternal. We need to keep all of the above in mind. Now, I want you to see with me this morning just two axioms out of this passage of Scripture. I want to share them both with you, and then I want to unpack them, first one, then the other. This passage of Scripture teaches us, first of all, that foolish choices result in eternal loss, and wise choices result in eternal reward. But look again in verse 24 before we go to this first axiom. In verse 24, Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Jesus is calling you high school graduating seniors to himself. He is calling you to live counter-culturally. Notice the words that Jesus uses here. He says, "If anyone will come after me, if you're going to follow me," then he's simply saying you must embrace my plans for your life. God has plans for you. And the plans that God has designed for you as graduating seniors are infinitely better than anything you could ever design for yourself. Now, what would be true for you would be true for all of us in this room. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you must deny yourself, not promote yourself. Now, there are plenty of folk today who are going to tell you that you need to promote yourself. But hear the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw just a few days ago an article about Harvard University MBA students. These are the Masters in Business Administration students. And one of their assignments was to develop a strategic plan. And the strategic plan was, what do I hope to achieve in life after graduation? And understand, these are graduate students. These are at Harvard. But nevertheless, the question is a good one. What do I hope to achieve after graduation? And those surveys were collated and developed, and the number one response was to gain wealth. The number two priority was notoriety or fame. Number three was status. Not one Harvard MBA student said anything about serving others. Not one. And so, that has become the norm today, to look out for yourself. Since 1966, there has been an organization who surveyed entering freshman students across the country, and this survey now goes back 49 years. In 1967, 86% of American freshmen college students responded that developing a meaningful philosophy of life was their number one priority. 86%. More than double the number who in 1967 said their priority was being well off financially. Almost 50 years later, only 45% of American freshmen said their number one priority was developing a meaningful philosophy of life. But 82% now say being well off financially is their number one priority. Now let's be clear. The Bible is not anti-wealth. God is the creator of all that is. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. All the silver and gold is His. He allows us to use it, and it is wise is the person and blessed is the person who has the ability to create wealth and to gain wealth, not just to use it selfishly, but to be a conduit a channel, if you please, to let that wealth flow out to bless the lives of other people and to do great eternal good as you invest it in the kingdom of God. Followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are to live for God's glory by serving others. Now, how do we do this? I invite you to look again in verse 24. There Jesus said, if you will come after me, you must take up your cross. And so not only do we deny self, but we take death to self. When Jesus says take up your cross, he's not saying wear some kind of a cross on your lapel or on a chain around your neck as a necklace. When Jesus says take up your cross, he's not talking about having a grumpy brother or sister down the hall from you. When Jesus says take up your cross, he's talking about denying yourself and death to self. It means a daily surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's the very same thing that the Apostle Paul said to the Romans, in Romans chapter 12. He said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual act of worship. In other words, every day, at the outset of the day, present yourself to the Lord. Say to the Lord Jesus, I'm not my own, I belong to you. In fact, that's what Paul told the Corinthians. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And the price is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, to say to the Lord Jesus, you be the Lord of my life this day. I surrender to you. I want today for myself what you have designed for me. This is absolute abandonment to Jesus. In other words, whatever Jesus commands, the answer is always yes. Never no. Now, let's talk about these two axioms for just a bit. The first axiom is foolish choices result in eternal loss. We see this in verse 25. Look in the first part of verse 25. Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Now, clearly that is countercultural. Not just the American culture, but any culture I've been anywhere in the world. Jesus said, if you really want to get ahead, you must lose your life in service for me. The accepted wisdom today, which is no wisdom at all, is something like, well, take care of yourself. You got to look out for number one. Whatever you do, don't take any risk. Play it safe. Be careful. And there's a lot of loss when you live that way. You read the story of the Israelites when they were coming out of Egyptian bondage. They'd been in bondage for 400 years. And now, by one miracle after another, they had been delivered by the mighty hand of God. They had crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground. They'd come up to the threshold of the promised land. The spies went in, 12 spies went in to spy out the land. They came back. They had a majority report and a minority report. You know the story. 10 spies said, there are giants in the land. And there's no way we can go in and possess the land. We'll be destroyed if we go in to possess the land. But two of the spies, great men of God, Caleb and Joshua, said, no, if the Lord is with us, we can conquer the land. And so the people decided to choose the majority report instead of the minority report. And they made a tragic mistake. And as a result of that, God consigned them to wander in the wilderness for 40 long years until a whole generation died off. There was immediate loss for the Israelites at that time. But far greater than the loss of 40 years of wilderness wanderings is an eternal loss, to lose your eternal soul. Look in verse 26. Jesus says, what good will it be if a man gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? That's a question that you graduating seniors need to ask yourself, not just today, but in all the days to come. And that's a question that every one of us needs to ask ourselves from time to time. And the answer is, if you gain the whole world and you forfeit your soul, you have eternal loss. a man's soul, a woman's soul, is infinitely more valuable than worldly wealth. The human soul is infinitely more valuable than fame or popularity. The human soul is infinitely more valuable than temporal, sensual pleasure. The devil is a subtle, crafty foe, and he will try to deceive you into thinking that in order for your life to have significance or meaning or success, that you've got to accumulate more and more and more of the things of this world. I want to tell you, the things of this world don't bring lasting joy. Only Jesus brings lasting joy. And I pray that you learn it sooner rather than later. But if you have a relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have a family, someday you'll have a husband or wife and sons and daughters. If you have a family who love you and love the Savior, if God has given you a measure of good health and you've got food and clothing, that's about all you need. Anything more than that is gravy. It's icing on the cake. Now, we live in a affluent part of the world. We have a lot. But those other things don't satisfy. Only Jesus ultimately satisfies. So be sure to tune out the siren song of the adversary who will seek to mislead you into thinking you've got to have more and more and more to be successful in life, or to be happy in life, or to be satisfied in life. It couldn't be any clearer than when Jesus said in Matthew 20, chapter 6, verse 24, "No man can serve two masters. Either you will love one and hate the other, cling to one, despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And because we live in a part of the world where there is great wealth, then it's very easy for us to unwittingly buy into that philosophy of life that says, if I'm going to be successful in life, I've got to have more than others, more than my parents, just more. Keep the long haul in view. And when I say the long haul, I'm not talking about the course of the next 50 years if Jesus doesn't come back first. I'm talking about the next 50 trillion years. And when 50 trillion years have come and gone, eternity will not even have gotten started yet. We must keep eternity in view. Foolish choices always result in eternal loss. May the Spirit of God rivet it upon your heart. It's a second axiom. Wise choices result in eternal reward. Yes, if foolish choices result in eternal loss, then wise choices result in eternal reward. You graduating seniors, your moms and dads, your grandparents, your brothers and sisters, all of us in this room this day, including your pastor, will be in eternity within 100 years or less. For some of us, it may be a matter of hours. In eternity. Now, if you're going to have eternal reward, you've got to prepare for it now. You can't gain additional eternal reward after you enter into the presence of the Lord. You must make that preparation now. Wise choices result in eternal reward. Look in verse 25. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but, now look what comes after the but. Whoever loses his life for me will find it. If you lose your life, you're going to find it. Worldly perspective, that's absolutely crazy. But not from God's perspective. The world's perspective is, play it safe, don't take any risk, be careful, look out for yourself, plan for a great retirement, get there as quickly as you can, kick back. If you have a retirement of 30 or 40 years, it's just the bat of an eyelash in the light of eternity. Think about what waits on the other side. eternal reward. Don't play it safe. Embrace the will of God. The will of God is good, pleasing, and perfect. It can also be dangerous. Somebody tells you the will of God is the safest place in all the world? Might be. Might not be. What about all the martyrs of the faith, going all the way back to Stephen in the first century, the first Christian martyr? What about Jim Elliot? Jim Elliot, along with his four friends and their young families, when they were in their 20s, relocated from the United States down to Ecuador in South America, where they sought to take the gospel to a group of savage, a tribe of Guadani Indians. And in doing so, Jim Elliot and his four missionary colleagues were martyred. So what a waste. 29 years snuffed out. He could have done so much if he had just played it safe, stayed in the United States, served God here. But Jim Elliot, while a student at Wheaton College, penned these words in his journal. Listen carefully to these words. He is no fool who gains what he cannot keep. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You see, we can't keep this life in this world forever, whether it's 29 or 79 or 109. Eventually, physical life ends, and we slip into eternity. Jim Elliot has left a legacy for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ that has inspired generations of young people to embrace the will of God. Yes, some to go to the mission field, some to go to the jungle, some to go to the plains of Africa, some to go to the teeming cities of Asia, some to stay in the States and to serve in various capacities for the glory of God, perhaps as a farmer, perhaps as a teacher, perhaps as a homemaker, perhaps as a surgeon, perhaps as a pharmacist. You can just list the vocations. It'd be presumptuous for me as your pastor to tell you that all of you ought to be missionaries. Maybe none of you should be a missionary. But maybe God has called somebody to be a missionary. But you find out what God's plan for you is. And remember that His plan is good and pleasing and perfect. And you are better to be in a dangerous place in the will of God than out of the will of God in a safe place. Make it your life's ambition to find and know and do the will of God. And if you will do that day by day, step by step, when you get to the end of the journey, whether you have just a few more years of life or you have many more decades of life, you will have eternal reward in God's kingdom. Rich Mullins was a very prominent contemporary Christian singer who died midlife. He was also a man who made a lot of money because his albums sold widely and he was a very popular concert artist. Rich Mullins decided that he would live on the average salary for the United States. For whatever it was in a given year, that's what his salary would be. And everything that he made more than that, he would give back to the kingdom, which was an immense amount of money he gave back to the kingdom. Shortly before he died, he gave a quote at a concert. Let me read just a portion of it to you. Christianity is not about building an absolutely secure little niche in the world where you can live with your perfect little wife and your perfect little children in a beautiful little house where you have no gay or minority groups anywhere near you. Christianity is about learning to love like Jesus loved. And Jesus loved the poor, and Jesus loved the broken. Rich Mullins gets it. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's not about what I want, but what the Lord wants. And notice this. Look in verse 37. Jesus says there is a reward that comes for those who live in this way. Verse 27. For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels. Jesus will come again. And human history will be ushered to a close. when Jesus comes back to establish his eternal kingdom, when he comes in his Father's glory with his angels, and then notice this last phrase here in verse 27, and then, that is, at that time, he, Jesus, will reward each person according to what he has done. We are not saved by deeds, but we are rewarded by our deeds. We are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but having been saved by the grace of God through our repentance and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And so there is the reward that comes, the judgment seat of Christ. Someday you will stand before Jesus, as will all of us who are his own. And we will hear him say to us, this is your reward based on your service for me. So embrace the will of God. Go where he sends you. Keep eternity in view. And always live for the glory of our King. May I pray for you. God our Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these young men and these young ladies who sit before me. They're about to enter a new chapter in their pilgrimage. I pray that each one of them will be faithful, devoted followers of Jesus. They will seek above all else to please him, to glorify him, to follow him wherever he may lead. I pray, Lord God, that they would each one hunger and thirst for righteousness, that you would give them a holy hatred for sin and justice and evil wherever it's found in the world, but especially the sin of their own hearts. And I pray that they would so live, if Jesus tarries, that over the course of the next decades, they would so live that when they stand before the Savior someday, they would hear him say, you've done well. Here's your reward. God grant it, we ask. Now, Lord, I pray as we come to decision time, for that man or woman, that boy or girl who needs to know Christ, that you would give them grace today to step forward and openly confess Jesus is Lord and God. May it be for your glory, in your name. Amen. We